When first my lover's voice I heard and saw his face aglow, my heart with deep delight was stirred. My love began to flow. Oh, how I love him better far than I ever, ever did before. Fairer than 10,000, whosoe'er they are, I love him more and more. I love him more and more. None other did such love. I could not say him nay. I gave my heart in hand and never from him stray. Oh, how I love him better far than I ever, ever did before. Fairer than 10,000, whosoe'er they are, I love him more and more. I love him more and more. Oh, many days have passed me by since first his face did shine. Still dearer is my Lord on high than when he first was mine. Oh, how I love him better far than I ever, ever did before. Fairer than 10,000, whosoe'er they are, I love him more and more. I love him more and more. I love him better far today than in the years of yore, and I shall love him all the way unto the golden shore. Oh, how I love him better far than I ever, ever did before. Fairer than 10,000, whosoe'er they are, I love him more and more. I love him more and more. Then when I meet him in the sky and face to face adore, fairer than thousands I will cry and have him more and more. Oh, how I love him better far than I ever, ever did before. Fairer than 10,000, whosoe'er they are, I love him more and more. I love him more and more. Jesus is coming. Amen. Jesus is coming so soon. It may be at morn, or it may be at noon, or even at twilight, the close of the day. Jesus is coming in glorious array. Jesus is coming. The heavens will open, and we are rejoicing in this gladsome hope. The groaning creation will victory proclaim, anthems resounding with praise to his name. Jesus is coming. Is coming with shouts from the skies, and up from the earth all the saints will arise. In heavenly transcendent his image to wear, all of his glory forever to share. Jesus is coming. Peace he will bring. Hail ye the summit. Praise ye the King. Through the earth and heavens, victory will Jesus is coming to loose every band, the universe bowing at his least command. And Satan himself then his scepter must hold, mighty and glorious, the King on his throne. Jesus is coming. Peace he will bring. Hail ye the summit. Praise ye the King. Through the earth and heaven, victory will reign. Amen. Glory.
Great are you, Lord.
splendor of the King, held in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great, how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great, how great.
Ask you a question. Is there anything too hard for our God? Is there anything too terrible for our God to not take care of it? Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God for our God. I'm so glad we're not worshiping some idol somewhere like these people do. Oh, people that are dead, long, long time ago, they worship. Our God lives. Our God is great, and he is faithful. And he is going to take care of us. Hallelujah. Believe him. He's going to take care of us. Praise the Lord. I believe his coming is very, very near. Can you imagine in the United States having the forest fires, all of the other stuff, the riots, the virus, the hurricanes? What is God trying to say? God is speaking. I am not happy, he's saying. Make ready, be ready. The Lord is coming. I'm right now, the time is now. The time is for us to get ready. Glory to God. As you can see the sermon of the title, The Preparation Time. Hallelujah. Let us ask the Lord to bless the word. Oh God, hallelujah. How faithful you are, oh Lord. Our hearts are rejoicing. Our hearts are so full of your Spirit. Oh, that you are such a faithful God. How you have kept us and watched over us. Oh, hallelujah. How you have always been with us. Oh, precious Father, precious Father, precious Lord Jesus. Bless this word to our hearts today, Father. Give us new hope, new strength, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, glory to you, Father. Hallelujah. In Psalm 110:17, it says, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt prepare their heart. The Lord is preparing things. He prepares our heart. You ever think about that? He comes into our lives and we become a believer in Christ. And then all along this journey, he's preparing our heart to love him more, to give him more of our life and everything, preparing our heart. So the preparation is happening right now. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I think he was speaking about the cross. I think he prepared the place for us by dying on the cross. I don't think he's up there with a hammer and saw building little mansions, but I know that he prepared a place for us. Philippians 1:6, which is one of my favorite verses, as you know, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, and it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will perform this work that needs to be done in our lives. When we're asking him to make us a yielded person, make us an overcomer in Christ, he is going to do that. He is going to perform it. That word means he's going to accomplish it. He's going to prepare our heart and our attitudes and everything to match up to what he wants in us. And he's going to prepare us for that. Isn't that beautiful? Notice he's begun. He began the good work. He began the good work on the cross, of course. But in our individual lives, the time that we really receive Christ as our Lord and our Savior, and every day when we're yielding to God, we're getting into the Word. He's preparing us. He's working in us, fulfilling this good work that he has commenced with. Praise the Lord. He commenced it, and it's still going on. Praise God. The good work. Notice that. He is preparing a good work, not something that is hard and awful, and we just barely can make it. Just that's what a lot of poor Christians are in this world, struggling and struggling, trying to keep themselves saved, trying to just all the effort and everything go into, and fail repeatedly, and just feel bad most of the time, and can't seem to gain the victory. But this is a good work that the Lord is doing in our lives. It's his divine plan. We're not robots. He didn't make us all the same, just turn us all out. We're all the sons of God, but we're not robots. We're not alike. But he's working. He began the work. And notice that work is in you. It's in our life that he is preparing us. He says he will perform it. What does that mean? He will complete it. He will finish it. He will accomplish it. When our faith is in the Lord and we have asked him to work in us and to make us an overcomer, he does it. He begins to work. Praise the Lord. And notice that work will go on until the day of Christ. When Christ returns, praise the Lord, this preparation is going to be complete. Praise God. He will have done that work. That faithful work of his, that preparing. Another verse I like in Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What is his good pleasure? To have Christ so shine and so radiate from our lives that we will be a witness, that we will be a light to others around us, a light to our families and to others. So it's God's good pleasure. He's performing this. He's doing this work, preparing us. In the Amplified Version, it says strengthening and energizing and creating the longing and the ability to fulfill his purpose for his good pleasure. That's what he's doing. He is changing us from glory to glory. He's changing me, the song says, according to the scripture. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:8. Just a simple scripture here, but it just kind of stuck out to me when we're talking about preparing. 14:8. 1 Corinthians 14:8. This is something that I am doing this morning like a trumpet. I am not making an uncertain sound, as this verse says. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Praise the Lord. The trumpeters in the olden days, they blew those horns when they were to advance. They blew those horns when they were to retreat. Gave all the information just by the sound of that trumpet and leading the group to victory. And so, if we don't give a good sound, then no one can prepare. That's why the Word of God is so important in our life, to have ministers and teachers that will bring forth the truth of the Word of God and stir our hearts. That's what we want. The Holy Spirit works. And he stirs the hearts of the individuals that hear the word of God as we sound that trumpet, giving the warning, giving the advance, giving the victory in our lives for the battle. So he is preparing himself to the battle. Who shall prepare himself to the battle? There's a preparation that goes on in our life for us to be able to gain a battle in Christ. And that is the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, also praying to the Lord and having that work done in our lives that we have a confidence in us that God is our victory. God is our strength. He is our victory in whatever time of battle we are in. He is our victory. Praise the Lord. And we go forth prepared in the time of battle. Praise the Lord. And I know that verse refers to another subject, but it just stood out to me that it is something that prepares us. Praise the Lord. The trumpet, God warning through his word, often using his ministers. Not an uncertain sound. Uncertain sounds don't get us anywhere. That's a wishy-washy type of doctrine. But to utterly bring forth the truth of God's word, it prepares us. So God does his work, and it's never against his will, but sometimes it's against our will. Have you ever had a trial that you think, well, Lord, what on earth are you doing now? Why has this happened to me? I'm sure that if I ask a show of hands, every one of us here today would say we've had bad things happen to us that we wondered at the time. Why? Why did God allow this to happen? But praise the Lord. He is doing his work, and it's always a good work, and he's working according to his will. Praise the Lord. His part is to do the work. What is our part? To surrender to the work, even when it's hard. We've all gone through hard things. God has been so good to bring the victory. God has been so wonderful and so great. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Chapter 24 of the book of Matthew, Jesus speaking, telling his disciples about some of the things that would happen in the end time. We're going to go to the latter part of the chapter. Verse 20, chapter 24, verse 36 is where we're going. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not even the angels of heaven, but of my Father only. He's speaking about the end, when Christ will come back again, when the tribulation will start, all of those things. He says, nobody on the earth knows this, but my, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah, that's spelled N-O-E here, but it's N-O-A-H, were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Whereas in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Going to verse 42. Watch therefore, for we know not what hour, you know not what hour your Lord doth come. We don't know this. We don't know when he's going to come back again. But we want to be watchful and waiting for that time. Praise the Lord. Going on down in verse 43. For know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. And those days they had the times of the night set off in watches. Ever so many hours was the first watch. And they actually had watchmen that walked through the towns and would say, all is well. Give the time, 6 o'clock and all is well. That's the watchman would do that. But he says here that we are responsible to watch. And then notice what he says, 44. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now this little word ready, now we know that all of us have things that God is working on in our lives, making us ready. Actually, this word in the Greek is the same word as to prepare. Prepare, prepare, and be ready. So what are we to do? We're to be prepared every day walking with God, every day yielding our life, believing, trusting in God, letting him do his work in us. And sometimes it's so hard. I know that. I've been through lots of stuff. And it's pretty hard sometimes just to say, oh, God, thank you for this hard trial you're sending me through. But you know what? He's sending us through. He's taking us through. He's going to protect us and give us the strength to get through it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we have to just give up trying to get out of things and just let him work in us, surrendering our will, watching and waiting for the Lord, being ready, being prepared, because as he says, in the time that you think not, the Son of Man is going to come. In the time that maybe we're not really prepared, we're not really maybe as yielded to God as we should be, that may be the time that he will return. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we surrender our will and let him have his way in our lives. Praise the Lord. When I was a child, and I think I'll just mention this to you, when I was about 6 years old, Brother Cecil and Leopold Royalty as missionaries were going to Argentina and down at Paraguay. That was the first time they were going, and they stopped at our house. My mother and I and my little brother were the only ones home. I probably was 5 at that time, and they wanted to sing a song for us. So my mother played, and they sang for us, "Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Does your heart, the spirit control." It's a beautiful song. It just went through my mind as I was studying this. That we really surrender to the preparation of God in our lives. Sometimes we don't like the trials. We think, Lord, haven't I had enough? Isn't there enough going on in my life right now to have more? But the Lord says, I'm doing the work.
The master builder is doing the work. He's doing the work. And so we have to surrender our will to his will. And you know what? It's glorious to do it. And I know most of you know that. You've had times that you've surrendered your will to the Lord's will. And it is a wonderful result, isn't it? The result is peace that he gives us. Praise the Lord. So we're going to turn to 2 Timothy 4:6. And I think most of you know this is Apostle Paul at the very end of his life. Some people believe that he got out of prison for a while after he was in the prison in Rome. And then he was put back in the prison again. And I was reading about the prison, and most of you can do that on your computer. Look up the prison of Rome and how bad and horrible it was. It was at once, I think, a cistern, a big old pit that they stored water in, and they put people down in there. You know, when we see it on the movies, we don't see really what it is. But it was a horrible place to be, and Apostle Paul was put back there again in that place. And as we read this about Paul, we realize that the preparation of the work of God was done in Apostle Paul, wasn't it? Read the 11th chapter of, I always get 1st and 2nd mixed up there, but I think it's 2nd Corinthians maybe. 1st or 2nd Corinthians, where he talks about the things he went through. When I read that list, I always think, oh Lord, what have I ever suffered? You know, what have I ever gone through? And I think that would be what you would think too if you're reading that list. All of the shipwrecks and the beatings and left for dead and all of those things. It's just amazing. So we're going to 2 Timothy 4, where he's now ready at the end of his life. He knows that they're going to behead him. That's what they did because he was a Roman citizen, even though he was Jewish. So they couldn't crucify him, so they were going to behead him. And you see this word ready here. He was prepared. Verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered. He was going to be offered. He was going to be beheaded. I am now ready. I've let the Lord work in my life. I've surrendered my will to God's will. And I followed him, no matter what it took. I can't imagine what he must have looked like it physically, because he went through so many things. He had an eye disease, too. And yet, he kept right on preaching the word of God, kept right on being faithful to God. He says, I'm now ready to be offered, or I have been prepared. The words is the very same word. I have been prepared. God has prepared me to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. That departure is going, his spirit going away to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He was an overcomer. He wasn't there screaming and hollering and saying, please don't do this to me. Please don't do this to me. I want to live. I want to live. No, he wasn't saying that. He had finished his course, as we read here later. He was ready to be offered as a sacrifice. And the time of my departure from this life is at hand. For he uses three illustrations here of an overcoming Christian. The first one is the fight. He says, for I have fought a good fight. And we find in the book of Ephesians, if you hold your place here and go back to the 6th chapter of Ephesians, you'll see Apostle Paul giving us the information about fighting this good fight. And Ephesians was written from prison also. And no doubt, Apostle Paul was every day seeing those Roman soldiers always there, watching over things, being cruel and horrible. And some of them did get saved through Paul's ministry, but that's why he could look at them and then, you know, of course, his period of time he lived, the Romans were in charge of everything. They were the world dominating people at that time. But notice in verse 11, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And he goes ahead in verse 15 and talks about our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and having a shield of faith in verse 16 and 17, we have a helmet of salvation. So Apostle Paul knew what it was to fight the good fight of faith. He was a man who stood for the things of God and faithful to God, regardless of the trials and tests. And then, "I have finished my course." And that was another thing that we have learned from Apostle Paul, is that we are on a race course. He mentions it several times. Back in the 9th chapter, verse 24 of 1 Corinthians, he says that we are running a race to win the prize. But only one, he says, will win the prize. And I told you one time, a man who should have known better said this to me: "You mean that all of us can be winners in this race?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "I thought it was just going to be one of us. And if it's not just me, then I don't want to do it." Isn't that a silly, carnal thing? That is such a silly, carnal attitude. It's a man who should have known better. That's what was so shocking about it. But there, all of us are running in this race to win this prize. It's not to win salvation, but to win a closer place with Christ, reigning with Christ on the throne as his bride. That's what the running the race speaks of. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Running the race, running the course. In the 3rd chapter of Philippians, he talks about running the race there. And he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I press. Many of you, probably as young people, ran races. And you know the preparation it takes to be a racer. And the lightness of your clothing. If you try to go out there with great big clodhoppers on, you're not going to win the race. You cannot be held back by things that are weighty, things that weigh you down. And so that's the way it is with the race that we're running. And Apostle Paul was our example. As I said, the many trials he went through, and yet nothing stopped him. He kept right on going. He was prepared, wasn't he? He was prepared by the Lord. The preparation of the Lord was in his life. The Holy Spirit was giving him power every day to be an overcomer, no matter what they did to him. Such an example, such a blessing. He finished his course. Praise the Lord. Revelation 19:7 says, "His wife hath made herself ready," speaking of the bride. And that isn't in our own self-effort. That's just doing what the Lord wants us to do. Finishing our course, running the prescribed course that he has for us, whatever it is, fighting the good fight by his strength, by his grace and his mercy. And he will do it for all of us. He will work in us, in all of us, to make us prepared and ready, because he loves us. All we have to do is just say, "Here, I want it, Lord. I want to be close to you. I want to be prepared. I want that in my life. I want what you have for me." Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And look at Revelation 21, 2. Revelation 21, 2. Verse 2. John, who wrote the book of Revelation as God revealed to him all of the marvelous things that were going to happen in the future. In this verse, it says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Prepared. God had prepared this bride for Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, think of that. We had a lesson on the potter and the clay not too long ago. And I hope all of you have had that experience dealing with clay, because it is so interesting to think about modeling clay and how the hands of the person doing it are so important to mold that into what God wants in our spirits. Hallelujah. Now, the last thing there in 2 Timothy 4 that Paul says is, "I have finished my course." I have finished my course. Praise the Lord. I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. Pardon me, not the last one. It's the second one. I've finished my course. And then the last one, I have kept the faith. Kept the faith. That means as a guardian against error. A watchful guard. That's what he was. He watched to make sure the truth was going forth. No error. You know, error is like poison. It can harm the whole batch of dough. Error is like that leaven that's in the dough. And so Paul was a guardian of the true faith, of believing in the Word of God, the guardian against error. Praise the Lord. This was how, in Paul's life, he was prepared by every day doing these things that we read right here. Fighting the good fight of faith. Going on with his strength. When we don't feel like getting up, we don't feel like we can stand one more thing, keep on going by the strength of the Lord. Keep on claiming that victory, fighting the good fight of faith, finishing my course. Each of us have a designated time that God is bringing us through. When that time is up, our life will be ended. We'll fly away. Our spirit will fly away to be with the Lord. Until that time happens, we're going to do what the Lord asks us to do. Prepared. We are prepared to finish our course. Praise the Lord. God's strength prepares us to finish our course. Glory to God. And we are going to keep the faith, the teaching of the Word of God. That's what that's speaking of. Now, all of us should have faith and maintain faith. But there is a faith, and that is the teaching of the Word of God that is truth. We are going to stand fast for this truth that the Lord has given to us. We are going to be prepared by this. Glory to God. And each of us, whether we are older in the Lord or younger in the Lord, can grow more. Each of us are not there yet. Did you know I'm not perfect? You don't have to answer that. Because I know a secret about you. You're not perfect either, or the Lord would have taken you away from here. You're not ready yet. The pie isn't completely baked yet. Sometimes I like to rush things because I'm in a hurry and I want that cake or that pie to be done now. But there's a designated time that it has to be in the oven to get to the right. Won't be done inside. Had that happen a few times. Praise the Lord. God is working. He is preparing us for a place. The place will be prepared for us, and we are being prepared for the place. Isn't that a good thought? You and I are being changed from glory to glory, being prepared for the place. Glory to God. So we're going to sing a song. If you have a need, feel free to come and pray. If you have a need for healing, something you want us to pray for you about, feel free to come and we'll be glad to pray for you.
Sing those praise.
Hallelujah.
Well,
when my life's work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, as redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the prints of the nails in His hand. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view His blessed face, and the luster of His kindly beaming eye. How my full heart will praise Him for this mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, as redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the prints of the nails in His hand. Oh, the dear ones in glory, how they beckon me to come, and our parting at the river I recall. To the sweet vales of Eden they will sing my welcome home, for I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, as redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the prints of the nails in His hand. Through the gates to the city in a robe of spotless white, He will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages I shall mingle with delight, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, as redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the prints of the nails in His hand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, as redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the prints of the nails.